Come on. Amen. Well, welcome to Hope Church, 6:30, Saturday night. It's thrown me off. I don't know about you. It feels kind of weird, don't it? It's not Wednesday. It's not Sunday morning, but there's an interesting vibe going on. But we're glad to have you here worshiping the Lord with us. Glad we're doing this instead of in the snow. They still tell me that's supposed to be coming late tonight. And so now we can sleep in and hope that it does come. And maybe be off on Monday. I don't know. So, couple announcements before we get into the word tonight. Number one, don't forget next Sunday. Say next Sunday.
Next Sunday
is time change. Now, with that said, around here we boycott time change, which means next Sunday we will have our 8:30, 10, and 11:30 normal time. Don't change your clocks. Come to church. After church, let's change our clocks. We've started that a few years ago, and it has worked so well because instead of, when we lose an hour of sleep and come to church, it's exhausting. Everybody's tired, missing sleep, thrown off. It's hard. Doing it this way, it makes it so much better, and I just figure if you're going to be a little tired during the day and not your best, do it on Monday at work. You know what I mean? Don't take it from Jesus. Say amen. Thank you for that. Thank you. Also, second announcement is we're starting a new series next Sunday called Blood Moons. And to me, it's kind of interesting because we've talked about this and worked on this for probably over a year, and now it's here. Has anybody followed the Blood Moon concept at all? A few in the back. Thank you, Sir Jeremy. I appreciate that. Anybody else? How many people have no idea what I'm talking about? It's okay. Oh, okay. Let me give you a heads up, and I'll make this really short. A blood moon is when there is we know what a solar eclipse is, right? A blood moon is when there is a moon eclipse. So the sun, the earth, and the moon are lined up, and the rays from the sun are basically being blocked by the earth, but some are coming through, and they hit the moon, and it turns it red. Now, this happens, and it's not like totally unusual, but when it's in a full moon, NASA calls it a blood moon. Now, what makes it, what's about to happen unique is that there's going to be four blood moons in a row, and they land on the Jewish feast. That is very unique. In fact, in tracking it, it's only happened three times in the past 500, or of the past 500 years, it's only happened three times. Of each time, there has been a major event, especially with Israel. Now, with that said, what we're going to look at is that what Jesus was talking about when he was saying, talking about knowing the signs of the times and that the sun was going to be black as sackcloth and the moon was going to be blood red? Was that what he was referring to? Because there's a solar eclipse right in the midst of those. So two blood moons, solar eclipse, and two more, all on Jewish feasts, which makes them very rare. Now, here's my point. We are not saying that there's going to be a major event happen. We are not saying that this is the end of the world as we know it or the rapture is going to happen. I think it would be unwise or not good wisdom to try to predict a future date, right? But I think it would be equally unwise to see this and say nothing's going to happen and ignore it. So the goal is we're going to look at the natural side of it, what's NASA saying, look at some Bible prophecies. Talk about, does this stuff line up? What's going on here? And to be aware of what's happening. And I think that's important. And what one cool thing is when we end this series that we're getting ready to start, when we end it, it will be the first of the four blood moons at the time of the ending. Very cool. Very cool. Excuse me while I cough. Thank you in the back. And so, to me, it's very relevant, very timing. People, as it starts happening, are going to be talking more about it. You're going to have the information already, and nothing to be afraid of, nothing to make us alarmed, but it is interesting and something that we should be aware about. So Blood Moon starting next Sunday, very cool. And as we get into it, it's some of the things that are happening and what's happening and how it lines up in history and the Bible and current. Very cool. It'll blow your mind. It's going to be very interesting. So next Sunday, that starts. Okay? Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
All right, put your hands together. Let's get this thing going. Come on. Again, glad to have you with us tonight. We've been finishing up this, doing a series we're going to finish up tonight called Code Orange. Say Code Orange.
Code Orange.
Key verses out of Isaiah 60. And the context with Code Orange that we've drawn, if you've been with us, if you haven't, let me give you a quick review. The context is that, one, orange is not a primary color. It needs two colors to become orange. The life that God wants you to live, the victory that God wants you to have, the quality of life that God wants you to live does not come. You cannot live a successful Christian life as an island to yourself. That's the main purpose of that. You cannot, I don't need anybody. I got me and my Bible and praise God. You need the Word of God. But God didn't create this for you to live as an island to yourself. There's partnerships you need. Amen?
Amen.
Secondly, we've talked about that orange is not a subtle color. It stands out. Not that God, if you love Jesus, that you're going to be loud and obnoxious and draw attention to yourself. Although the danger in the church world, in my opinion, is that we start spiritualizing certain temperaments. You might have a man or woman of God who's totally impacted your life and have a certain style or temperament. And we can spiritualize that and say, if I'm going to be spiritual, I have to act just like them in their temperament. And that's not the case. I've seen young preachers that would shuffle their feet like an 80-year-old man because that's what their mentor did. Well, it's okay when you're 80 to shuffle your feet. You're 80. But when you're 20, it doesn't make any sense. Do you see my point? And so the reality is not to try to change your temperament to become more spiritual. That's ridiculous. But we tend to do that. Excuse me again. One more time. All that cold air. All right, here we go. So it's not changing your style because that's going to make you more spiritual. It has nothing to do with it. If you're quiet, it's okay to be quiet. Code orange or being orange doesn't mean that you're loud. If you're loud, it's okay to be loud. If you're funny, it's okay to be funny. What are we talking about when we're saying in code orange that God wants you to stand out? Jesus said one day that if you build a city on top of a hill, it's going to get noticed. It's going to get noticed. And when you light a candle, you don't put a bowl under it. You put it up on a candlestick so that everybody in the house can see. What does that tell us? That if God is building something in your life, others are going to notice it. Not everybody, because God didn't call you to reach everybody, but He did call you to reach somebody. And there'll be somebodies in your life that stay with you for a long time. There'll be some bodies that God's sending to your life, maybe just for a moment, so that you cross paths and you can influence and impact. But if Jesus is working in your life, then there should be a change that people notice. It doesn't mean that everybody you talk to, you have to pray with or witness to or invite them to church. No, find a balance to this. It's the reality of who you are, and as you change and become more like Christ, not in outward appearance, but in character, in attitude. Listen, if you've been saved for 30 years and you still have the same hang-ups, the same problems, the same mindsets and issues that you did 30 years ago, and there's no change in you, something's not right. Can I get an amen from this group? Come on, you got to be extra loud with me tonight. My time is all thrown off. I can't figure it out if it's Sunday or Wednesday, so I need you. Work with me. Say amen.
Amen.
Come on. Okay, and so it's like, well, I've been saved for 50 years, but you're still angry, upset, mean, ugly, bad attitude, not forgiving nobody, sharp tongue. Are you with? Nothing's changed. Something's not right. It's you met Jesus 50 years ago, but you haven't followed Him in a while, because the Bible tells me that a relationship with Jesus, when I'm walking with Him, when I'm following Him, He has a way. And if you know the Lord and you're walking with Him, you will totally get this, that in life He has a way of working with you, bringing you through stuff, but also helping you grow in stuff. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's try it again. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. And so God works on us. That by the Spirit of God, He reminds us of the Word of God. He convinces us where we are wrong, and He wants us to improve on or change. And there's growth. You should keep growing. A baby that's born, if it's still a baby after 30 years, something's not right. God wants us to keep growing. And when you grow, someone's going to notice. You can maybe run into a grandchild or a nephew or a niece you haven't seen in a while, and you can look at them and say, wow, you have really grown. Because you notice that they're not the same. They might not see it because they're around themselves all the time. You see it. People should come into your life and say, wow, you know what? I've noticed. You don't get so upset as like you used to. You're more calm, or you seem to be more generous, or that was very thoughtful. You asking if you could pray. They should notice what God is building in your life. Because when he lights a candle, he doesn't want it hid. He wants it up on the candlestick so that everybody in the room, the Bible says, I like to say it this way, everybody in your world, everybody you have influence with, because again, you can't reach everybody, but he's called you to reach somebody, will see. Not focusing on seeing you, but the purpose and function of a light is that when you turn on the switch and turn on the light, that those who are in the room, maybe the first time came into the room, that they can now see with clarity what was always there that they could not see before because they were in darkness. The Bible tells me that those who do not know Jesus are in darkness, that the enemy has blinded their minds lest they see the light of the glorious gospel. When your life, when you allow God to work in you and through you, all of a sudden the light that is reflecting from you shouldn't be giving you praise. Ah, I'm so wonderful. That's not what its point. That's not the point. It's not to make you look like you're better than everybody. Oh, I got it down. Everybody else got hangups. Not me. I'm perfect. Come on, get real. That's not what it's about. It's to let, when it's done correctly, it's to let those in your world see who has always been there, but they could not see because they were in darkness. All of a sudden, they begin to see the goodness of God who's always been there, and he's waiting to shine through you. But God can only be as bright through you as he is to you. He can only be as real through you as he is to you. And as much as you might know in your walk with God, as much as I might know, as close as I might be with the Lord and you with the Lord, the reality is there's still so much more that we can experience from God. I firmly believe that we could be in heaven for a million years studying God and always coming up with a new facet of God. That he is so amazing. That a million years of doing nothing but studying him, we would never come to the place, I've seen it all. The goodness of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the mercy of God, the nature of God. He's dimensionally beyond anything that we can understand with our natural mind. You know, oh, I understand God. I got him figured out. You understand nothing. You've just started. God is so vast that that's why, do you know the Bible's the only book, you know, a lot of different religions in the world, right? And a lot of, each religion has a key book as their source of information. The Bible is the only key book of a religion that defines deity in terms that you cannot understand. All other religions of the world, when they talk about God or deity, it's in terms that make sense to our human mind. The Bible begins to say stuff like, God never had a beginning. Think about that. Oh, yeah, I understand. God always was. Never begin. No beginning, no end. He's always there. I got that. Wrap your mind around that for a little bit. Go back a billion years. Still there. Go back a trillion years. He's still there. Go back as many numbers as you can count. And before that, he was there. You think of, you can't. God has the ability to know not only what you say and do, but what you think and the intent of your heart for everybody simultaneously. Think about that. Whew. He's amazing. Did you hear me? And so God wants to shine in us and through us. And we saw out of Isaiah 60, chapter 60, verse 1, says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Say with me, arise. Come on, work with me. Arise,
arise.
And shine. Come on, say arise,
arise
and shine.
And shine.
Why? Because your light has already come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That word literally in the Hebrew says that the light has come into you and is waiting to break through. Waiting to break through. It's not rising upon you like it's coming from your feet up. No, it's on the inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When Jesus is in your heart, he's waiting to break out from the boundaries that we tend to hold him back in because of our lack of faith sometimes. But he wants us to rise up and shine. But before you can shine brighter, before you can shine brightly, you have to rise up. Like that verse that says, you don't light a candle and put something over it. No, you lift it up. Did you hear me? You rise it up. You put it in another position so that it has the best ability to shine clearly for everybody in your world. It doesn't mean you have to promote yourself. That's not what we're talking about. But it says, but also you can't fly under the radar. You have to position yourself where you're open for conversations. Position yourself where you're open for people to come to you. Position yourself where you're in the mix. If you're like, it's just me and my Ford, I don't care about the rest of the world, you're not in a position to allow God to shine through you. Jesus could have, if that was the pattern to follow, Jesus could have said, all right, disciples, here we go. I'm the Son of God. I'm going to teach you. And for the next years of my ministry, we're going to stay in this room. And all we're going to do is just feast on revelation. And praise God. Don't get me wrong. Praise God for revelation. We need the word. We need rhema. We need truth in our life. It's great to come and receive the life that comes from God's truth. But if all, in some churches they can get into this, it's all about coming and hearing. If it was just all about coming and hearing, then Jesus would have said to the disciples, come on, because it's all about you coming and me just teaching. And we're going to feast on the revelations that I'm going to give you. Don't worry about anybody else. But that's not what he said. Jesus told the disciples, I want you to go. I want you to position yourself in the rhythm of life so that you're rubbing shoulders with people that don't know me. Because they're in darkness. But darkness defined in science is not an absolute. Darkness is a relative term. Darkness is defined as the absence of light, which tells me that if you are a light, the moment you show up, something's about to change. When you begin to look at moments of and opportunities, Ephesians tells us to redeem every opportunity that God gives you. When you begin to be open and aware of the opportunities God gives you, it's not based on how you feel. I don't feel like God's going to do anything. No. We can't be moved by what we feel, hear, and see, the Bible says. We must be moved by the Word of God. When we begin to raise up our When we begin to lift up our expectation of that God can use me in this moment, but I'm not a pastor. I'm not a full-time minister. I just got saved. Great. He can still use you because the Bible says that we have this treasure in humanity, earthen vessels, that the glory may be of God and not men. You can reach people that I can never reach. When we lift up our expectation, when we lift up that this could be an opportunity from God, I don't have to feel it, but I found myself in a conversation, and the person says, I don't know what to do. The doctor says, and the Lord says, why don't you pray for them? But Lord, I missed my prayer time this morning before I got up. Lord, I don't know if you can use me. It's good to pray. It's good to read the word. Don't get me wrong. But if you qualify yourself to be used by God based on how you feel that day, you're moved by what you feel, hear, see. There'll be times that God can use you where you don't feel a spiritual high. You know what I'm talking about by spiritual high? Ooh, it just feels like everything's going great. God, there's been times in my life where you don't feel spiritually high. You don't feel spiritual. There's times you don't even feel saved. But you're not acting based on what you feel. You're not moved by what you feel, hear, or see. You're moved by the word of God. And when God says step, you step. God says, step out of the boat. Well, you know, it's windy and it's got a wave, and I'm not really feeling it today, and I didn't eat a good breakfast. Maybe that's part of it. And you know what I mean? And I got a lot of things I'm dealing with, Jesus. No, that's not what it's about. God uses those who are willing. When you raise up your expectancy, that means, well, it's not Sunday. It's not church. I'm not preacher. That don't matter. He sent the disciples out into the highways and to the byways. God will send you places in the rhythm of life. And if we're not careful, it doesn't, hear me now. It doesn't mean that you're praying all the time. It doesn't mean that you're looking and say, okay, God, this has got to be something now. It's learning to say, Lord, if you want to use me today, here I am. I'm available. I'm expecting God to use me. One of the cool things about these Tagged by God wristbands is that we've encouraged you not only to be encouraged by them, but to share them with somebody, right? Tag somebody. But we've told you, don't try to just give it away. Look for the moment to give it away. Look for in the rhythm of life where all of a sudden there's a check and the Lord says, tag that person. You didn't drive up to that drive-thru and say, oh, I'm going to tag somebody. Maybe you did, but typically, I'm going to go to work and run into somebody and I'm going to tag them, or I'm going to see my neighbor outside working a yard and I'm going to tag them. That's not the goal, to plan it. The goal is to be open for God to say, now the moment you're in. This one, yes, now. When you're open, say, God, I'm expecting you to use me today, but I don't know where, I don't know who, I don't know how, I don't know at what level, but Lord, I'm open. I'm open. And just like that Tagged by God wristband, it's the same rhythm, being open for God to use you to shine through somebody. Excuse me, and to make a difference and impact them in a way. It might be an encouraging word. It might be prayer. It might be witnessing to them. It might be inviting them to church. There's a million different avenues, but it's not trying to figure out the map before you start. It's staying obedient for him to say, now here's the moment. Arise, shine. Because if you try to stay down low and hide, you can't shine. You got to lift yourself up. We have people in our lives that encourage us, that lift us up, do we not? But if we depend on them, and praise God for them, thank God for them, but let's not depend on them. Hear me? There's no disrespect. But throughout, we appreciate them, we value them, but if we depend on them, when they're not there, we can't rise up. Well, I haven't had nobody encourage me in a long time, and I don't think I can encourage or help anybody. No, rise up. You rise up. You rise up. When God tells you to step, you rise up. You raise your expectancy, you raise your opportunity, and you rise up, not based on what you feel here. See, you rise up, and the truth, the Bible doesn't say feel strong. It says be strong in the Lord. Because our feelings will try to redirect us and mess us up. But God wants you not only to shine, he wants you to shine brighter. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that the path of the righteous shine even brighter, which means no matter how great it is today, it can be greater tomorrow. And what God's done through you in the past is not the best. It's just the beginning. And there's more to come when we're open and believing and positioning ourselves in life where I'm expecting God to use me today. Lord, I start this day off. I want to thank you for this day. You have made it. I rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it because I know this day is not by accident. I know I'm not by accident, and it's not how I feel or how the weather says, but Lord, I trust you. I look to you, and I raise my expectancy. You show me. You guide me. You open the door. I'll step in. And you just go through the rhythm of life, and all of a sudden, God begins to use you, and then it starts, and it goes up the next level. And it goes up to the next level. And it goes, and as you begin to progress and grow, you become brighter. You become more effective. You begin to impact people in a deeper, in a greater way. It might start as a little cup of water for a child, but that's okay. Don't disqualify it. Because Jesus said that if you give a cup of cold water to a thirsty child, he recognizes that. God will recognize the things that we don't think are significant. And we can say, that's no big deal. Don't say it's no big deal, but because to Jesus, it's a big deal. And it's a part of the growing process. It doesn't mean you stop as you keep going. No, you got to keep doing all this stuff. But as God creates the opportunity, he can bring you to greater and brighter opportunities in your life. All of a sudden, you maybe had an opportunity to pray for somebody and they felt better. Next thing you know, you're praying for 3 people in 1 week. Witnessing to 5 people. I don't know if I can do that. You don't have to do something I'm just throwing out. You just learn to obey God where you're at. Because he has a way of starting with you where you're at. He doesn't say, okay, you're here. Now I want you to jump 10 steps. No, he says, you're here. Let's begin right there. When Jesus would teach on the earth, a lot of times he would use parables. He would use stories. And he would teach amazing, complex Bible principles, but bring them down to a group of people that understood farming. And so he would say phrases like, the kingdom of God is like a man who planted seed. And he kept planting. And he kept planting. And the birds got some. And some went on rocky ground. And the cares of life. But some made it to good soil. And that good soil produced that fruit. And it grew to be 30, 60, 100 fold. Understand, the seed's the word. The heart is the soil. Prepare your heart for the word. It'll produce change in your life. And he would take great truths and teach them in the simple terms that they understood. Why? Because they are farmers. I think if Jesus showed up today, he might do something totally different. He might use technology. Kingdom of God is like a smartphone. You never know. I mean, he might just bring in things that we relate to. Kingdom of God is like a 72-inch 4K high-def TV. It's not that we can over-spiritualize the concept of a seed, but to them, they understood what a seed was. He started where they're at. See, God will start with you where you're at. He will start with you where you're at. I wish God would help me. He'll get you there. He'll lead you to that level. Don't compete and compare. You just start with where you're at and allow him to bring you through to the next level. Isn't that cool? Because life is a life of chapters. Have you noticed that? You grow up saying, oh, I'll always have these friends. And you wake up one day and say, where'd they go? Life's a life of chapters. It's a life of seasons. God has seasons. He has appointed time for you. He knows what he has for you. David says, while I was in my mother's womb, you planned out my days. You're not an accident. God knows exactly who he wants you to reach and what he wants you to do and what he wants you to become. It's not an accident. Our biggest thing is not trying to determine our future. Your best thing is learning to discover what your future looks like from God. God has amazing details he planned out for you. But you know what the devil does? He tries to sabotage, does he not? John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. One of the things I really believe the devil uses, because he doesn't create anything new. He takes what God uses and twists them. And when God will take his word and plant it into your heart and cause it to produce a change that benefits you, that strengthens you, that makes you more into the image of his son, Christ. That's the plan of God. What the enemy does is he tries to plant seeds of negative words into your heart and your mind. And he'll try to create perceptions for you. Because if he can get you, convince you, and sell you the idea that you can't, you won't, then you'll not, then you won't. If he can tell you, convince you that you're a failure, you'll never try. If he can convince you everybody hates you, you won't reach out with love. And if he can convince you that everybody's liars, then you won't trust anybody. Do you see the point? And the tactic, because if you don't rise up, you can't shine. God's not going to grab you and say, you better start shining, force you up. No, you have to be willing to rise up in this thing. Faith without works is dead. He told Abraham, Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, what is really that to me, God? Seeing I go childless, and my heir is Eliezer, who's a servant child. What's that to me? God said, Abraham, won't you come with me? God didn't say, Abraham, it is what it is because I said it. Shut up and just do what I tell you. Which sometimes we want to tell people, our children. Don't ask me questions. Shut up and do what I tell you. But God didn't say, shut up, Abraham, do what I tell you. God said, Abraham, let me show you something. Ooh, I like this. And the Bible tells us in Genesis that he brought him out of his tent and said, Abraham, I want you to look at the stars. Okay, God, I'm seeing the stars. Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall? I'm praying that when I get to heaven, that the Lord gives us the ability to just kind of be there. Wouldn't it be cool? And watch all this stuff play out. Abraham, what do you see? I see stars. Count them, Abraham. You wonder if he counted. Did he get the point? Or did he have to walk through the exercise? One, two, three, four. Do shooting stars count? Yeah, that counts too. Five, six, seven. That's actually planet Abraham. Don't count that one. Okay, six. I wonder how he went. Did he get up to 100? Did he get up to 1,000? Did he get to a point of saying, God, what's the point? You ever wonder when God's working with you, he already knows everything. He'll ask you a question, not because he's looking for information. Sometimes he's just trying to wake you up to the idea of what he already is aware of. And he'll call you out of that small place, that tent, to show you something, expose you something that's so much bigger. And I wonder, just not a question, I didn't mention this in the first service tonight, but I just wonder if, how long we count. You ever wonder, can you imagine spending 10 years of your life counting and not getting the point? I wish I could say that every time I got the point on the first star and say, okay, God, I get it. Now what do you got to say? But I think there's times in my life I've probably counted up to 10,000, 10,001, 10,002. You almost feel like, hello, McFly. Come on, let's be real with ourselves. Till we come to the place of saying, God, what's the point? And God says, exactly. You can't count these stars. Okay, I get it. I can't count the stars. Abraham, you can't count your children. God, I have no children. You see yourself as with no children right now. But I see not only where you're at today, because I am the first and the last. I am at all places of all time. And Abram, I have the ability to see just not where you've been and where you are, but I see with equal clarity where you're going. And I'm telling you in advance. Catch this. Because the promises of God, the Bible says, are yea and amen to you. It's God showing you in advance what you can't see in the present. What's the point, God? You can't count the stars. Yeah, I get it. I can't count the stars. Abraham, from my perspective, if you could only see, you won't be able to count your children. There are so many. Beyond number. What? Yes, Abraham. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him to righteousness because he began to believe what he could not see. And what I'm here to tell you tonight is that God has amazing things that he wants to do, that your potential and your future is so much brighter than your past or even your present, because in God, all these promises are fulfilled, and the things that he has for you to do and the people he has for you to reach and the impact of that, because it's like a stone thrown in water. And though you might live long enough to see a ripple or two, if the Lord tarries, the continuation. It's like the usher at an old time outdoor crusade. Tent, dirt floors, and everything. Place was packed for the revivalist. And one day, two little boys came in late, and the place is packed. And they kind of came in the back, and they were kind of looking around, and an usher noticed them. And an usher said, come, boys, you could sit in my chair. He made them feel welcome. He created an opportunity for them. He rose up and did something that maybe nobody else would do. And at the end of that altar call, one of the two little boys comes down to the altars and gives his heart to the Lord. You might look and say, oh, isn't that sweet little boy? Usher helped out a little boy. That's kind of cute. That's nice. One day we'll start doing children's church. Isn't that nice? Unless you realized if they could only see then what God saw in the future. Because that little boy was Billy Graham. And that preacher just led Billy Graham to the Lord, who was going to lead in his lifetime tens of thousands of people to the Lord. And that usher, who we don't even know his name, did a minor act of giving his seat up to a little boy he didn't know who heard the gospel. The impact of your obedience so supersedes and exceeds your ability to count it or understand the ripple effect, because the impact you make in one, God can use it to multiply in others and multiply. It's not like one person had a bunch of children. It's one person had children who all had children who all had children who all had children. And one day God says, I see the end from the beginning. And what you start, the end is more than you can count. And when you obey God, he can do something in you. And you might look and say, that was nice. And God said, do not disqualify what I've begun. Don't be upset about small beginnings, because the beginning is just the beginning. It's not the end. If it was the end, it'd be called the end. It's only the beginning. And what God does with your obedience is like a seed of beginning, and it multiplies beyond your ability to measure, count it, or see it. Shine brighter and brighter. Shine brighter and brighter. And the enemy will try to stop you from rising up by convincing you it's not worth it. I'll tell you, it's worth it. He'll use the words of people, but you got to learn to uproot that and say, I'm not going to allow what has been spoken to me to identify me. You got to allow what God says about you to identify you. Did you hear me? You can be raised up in a great environment, but still, there's still life. We can protect our children and do everything we know is right, but there's still life. There's still people, teachers and friends. They might be good people, but they can say negative things, and life has a way of speaking negative stuff, and it can grow up in us and start changing our perspective on who we are or who God is. But Jesus said one day, you can speak to this sycamine tree. Be uprooted at your roots and replanted into the sea. That tells me that you have the ability, no matter how, maybe when you were a kid, someone said something so negative or done something that's so harmful, and you felt broken or worthless or devalued you or told you were stupid or you would never get it. And you grow up with a mindset that will limit you from even rising up. I'm here to tell you tonight that God has given you authority to talk to that stuff. When the devil tempted Jesus, he didn't try to combat the devil's words with his words. He combated the devil's words with the word of God. And you can take the word of God and say, wait a minute, this is not acceptable. I do not tolerate. I'm going to uproot this, and I'm going to put it in a place, catch this, that has no purpose for it, no place for it. You put a tree in the ocean, it's not going to thrive. It won't survive. It won't make it. Why? Because the sea does not give room for trees to grow. It totally eliminates its purpose. It can't grow. The importance of that is, you remember the story, Jesus came to a fig tree one day, hungry, and he saw there's no fig trees, and he said, and he cursed it, and Peter, coming a couple days later, noticed that it was withered up at the very roots, and he said to Jesus, the fig tree that you cursed. Many times, if we're not careful, we'll read that Jesus came up to that tree and said, no figs, I'm hungry, I curse you, now die. And that's not what he did. Do you know what Jesus said to the fig tree? He said, no longer will anybody ever eat from you. He stopped it from having its divine purpose. When he stopped its purpose, he caused it to wither. This works, this is powerful. I know people in church world love God, but they're withering. Why? Because they've lost sight of their purpose. But when the devil has an assignment, because Isaiah 55, 11 shows us that God's word has an assignment. It will not return void. It has a purpose. Well, the devil's got words that he's trying to use against you with a purpose. And the Bible tells us that your shield of faith can be lifted up and quench and stop that. In fact, in the Old Testament, it says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And, oh, too many people stop with that. Oh, no weapon formed against me will prosper. It does say that, but don't stop. And every word spoken against you, you will condemn. That means you're saying, not in my house, not in my life, not anymore. I uproot you. I don't tolerate you to wreck my life. I refuse to allow you to change my perspective, change my value system, change my identity, keep me down. I'm rising up. I'm breaking through this thing. I'm uprooting you and putting you in a place that does not have any space for you and does not allow you to function with purpose. I'm uprooting you out of my life because the Bible says I am loved. Don't tell me I'm not loved. The Bible tells me I have the mind of Christ. Don't tell me I'm dumb. The Bible says that everything I put my hands to shall be blessed. Don't tell me I'm a failure. I got uproot. We all have things that have been spoken against us that tries to take root into our life and change our perspective, change our attitude, change the way we see stuff, and that will hinder you from rising up. Because the moment you try to rise up, the stuff starts showing up. It's like a plane. I was listening to a pilot talking about how a plane, when it takes off and it's trying to climb to the right altitude, it begins to hit a pocket of air. And this layer of air, creates turbulence. And as it's going through the turbulence, the plane starts to shake. Have you ever been in a plane when it started to shake like that? And the natural tendency is you want to back off because why fight all that turbulence? No one likes turbulence. We like smooth sailing. So it just seems logical. Don't go through that. Just stay below it. But if you stay below it, it costs you more fuel. It's unstable down there. That area, it might seem calmer, but it's less stable. But when the plane can break through the turbulence, it can go over it. And the moment it goes and breaks through it, it becomes smooth sailing. Burns less fuel. Smoother ride. Some of us, maybe you've been going through some shaking and you're like, God, what's going on? Don't freak out. God's not mad at you. God's not angry with you. God's not trying to hold you back. You're breaking through some turbulence. It might be some mindsets. It might be words spoken against you. It might be stuff that's held you back and you're wondering, why can't I get to that next level? What's keeping me out of my new season? What's keeping me out of all that God has for you? You got to rise up. And in your rising up, there's stuff that's been planted in you that'll try to keep you down, but the things designed to constrain you cannot contain you. You're rising up, and when you cross through, there's going to be some shaking. It might not be an emotional, peaceful time. You might have to go through some turbulence, but that's okay. Keep pushing through. Keep pushing through, because you're not going to stay at the same level anymore. You're not staying in the old chapter. You're moving to the next chapter, and the moment you break through, it'll be peaceful again. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Please. Your Heavenly Father has promised lands for you, levels for you, but you got to rise up and break through the resistance of the enemy that will try to keep you out. Break through. Go through to that next level because he's wanting to break through and show his power so that when you get there, you're like, oh, this is awesome. You're having more success with less effort. Things are doing well. Life is getting better. And as you're enjoying that, he said, are you interested possibly in another level? This is good. If this is good, something's going to be great. And if that's great, something's going to be greater. Okay, I'm in. Let's go. But Lord, wait a minute. I'm starting to lose that calmness. People are starting to act a little weird. People are starting to act not. Things are. I'm feeling the pressure, Lord. That's okay. I'm taking you up. I'm taking you higher. The Bible says we go from glory. I'm taking you up to a whole nother level. You mean that's not all? No, that's just the beginning. You mean everything I've experienced? Oh, that's like fourth grade. I got some stuff for you that you haven't even seen. For eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things I have prepared and planned for my children. But I revealed them by the Spirit. Do you want to go through? Are you willing to break through the pressure of that barrier of the enemy to get to the next level? Because many people start getting the turbulence, and what do? They come back down. I'll just stay where I'm at. I won't try. Or you could be willing to break through and begin to see God shine brighter in you and also through you. Amen? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.